On 1116 SEN, Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence.
Good on you, Fonny. Welcome, everybody, to Chasing Birdies. Massive night tonight. Of course, I reckon we'll end up talking more about the Ashes and also Origin 3 than we will about golf. But the Open Championship's not too far away, and it's great to have the 99 Australian Masters champion in the studio. Good to see you, Spark.
Good to see you, Marco. Good to see you, Finey. And, Marco, Jerry Weintraub.
Jerry Weintraub, who's that?
He passed away.
Jerry Weintraub died this week.
Yeah.
Who's Weintraub?
I played with Jerry Weintraub at the Bob Hope Classic.
Really?
In
made some famous,
my second...
Made some big movies, Jerry
my
Weintraub.
My second PGA Tour event. We stand on the 18th tee box, Finey.
Who's Jerry Weintraub?
He looks at me. Hang on.
What did he say? Nice kid, nice kid, I'm telling you.
Well, he sounds exactly like Rodney Dangerfield. He looks at me on the 18th tee box, I swear to you, and he says, "You've got no idea who I am, do you?"
I said, kid, do you know who I am?
I said, no, I've been playing this for 17 holes with you, but yeah, to me, you're just the guy that paid $500 to play or $1,000 to play this week, right?
Well, who is it?
Well,
do you know what he said to Craig?
Nice man.
I could buy and sell people like you.
He goes, "I own LA." All right, I'm not going to try and do a New Jersey accent. Jerry Weintraub is a famous... Traub. T-R-A-U-B.
I think... Between the Colac boy and
it's a gap, and
the Oakley Tech boy.
Yeah.
I think Mama's little Jewish boy can pronounce Weintraub the best.
Traub.
But he's
Jerry Weintraub.
Right. Yeah. Right. Say it in a Jersey accent.
Oh, I like it.
I'm telling you, that's very Weintraub. He can buy and sell you, Spence. Don't be rude to the guy.
All right.
He's a proper guy.
You should have been Al Shervik.
I wish you had been there.
You should have been Al Shervik.
He's a big guy.
I'm not kidding. When's the last time you said to someone, "You don't have a clue who I am, do you?" Right?
after
I swear to God.
Jerry Weintraub.
He's a famous movie producer in LA.
Right.
Oh,
did Karate Kid?
Did he?
Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11, ooh. 12, 13, 14, 15.
16?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
He promoted Elvis, Led Zeppelin.
When you say promoted, looked after their concert tours?
Concert promotion.
Wow.
And the best story of all time is the way he came to be Elvis's promoter.
How?
He rang Captain, what's his name?
Ahab?
No, his
Captain
manager.
Captain Tom Parker.
Yeah, he rang him every day for a year.
Tommy Parker.
He rang him every day for a year, Marco, and said, "I want to promote Elvis. I want to get him a CBS special. I want to get him a cape.
Yeah.
I want to dye his hair jet black."
Mm. Was the cape Weintraub's idea or not?
Yeah, it was.
The cape was Weintraub's
According to Jer, it was.
Do you know what the name of his autobiography was or biography was?
The Kid Stays in the Picture? No, that was the other guy.
Jerry Weintraub's biography was called "When I Stop Talking, You'll Know I'm Dead."
Nice. So tell me this.
He's dead.
It's an... You got to go and read Jerry Weintraub, his
story.
So
how
come
you were playing with him? How come gifted him to you?
Can I just give you a really quick version of this?
Please.
Captain Spaulding, whatever his name is, Captain... his manager. He says, "Show up at such and such hotel tomorrow in Vegas with $1 million and you can promote Elvis." All right?
Right.
So Jerry doesn't have $1 million. So you know what he does?
What does he do?
He doesn't ring a bank. He starts calling people out of the phone book. And he keeps calling and calling until eventually someone says, "Yeah, I'm in." And he shows up with $1 million.
Come on.
This is a true story.
Rubbish.
You got to read this.
There's no way. It's the greatest story. Back in the 60s? There's no way you cold call people.
I guess this is
and you get $1 million and some bloke just rings down his briefcase and goes, "There you go. Where's Elvis?"
He shows up and he promotes Elvis for a long time.
He didn't just have Elvis. John Denver.
Yeah. Well, they'd all come running once you
Zeppelin. Zeppelin.
Liberace.
Mate, if you got Elvis on the books.
Hey.
If you got Elvis on the books, the rest would fall in the line.
And And the and Dolly the king, Parton? The king of them all. What's his name?
Liberace.
No, my way. What's his name?
Frank Sinatra.
Frankie. Yeah. He goes on the owner's team, Vox Marco. He said, "Frank Sinatra's my best buddy." Right. Who are you?
Now, finally, guys, we're going to see who will have the Duke in hand.
It was the Duke.
Over in Cardiff. So we know that England have won the toss.
Australia's gone with Johnson, and Stark and Hazelwood.
Batting. Well, I just saw Johnson with his baggy green on. So I would have thought Mitchell, but maybe it'll be the other.
Well, Hazelwood
Mitchell.
Moves it a bit.
Who do you reckon? Because we can't see yet.
I think Hazelwood takes the new ball.
Hazelwood. Oh, we'll see in a second. So Cook's out. Is that who is that Root as well?
No, that Cook and Live.
Cook and Live. Okay.
Cook and Live. Live and Cook.
Well, I can't wait for this. I can't tell you. I know we're doing a golf show at the moment, but this is enormous. Well, we've got the Open Championship. This must be just a great month to be over there, to have the cricket with the Ashes going.
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon as well. You got the Scottish and British Opens coming up on, you know,
and
the old course, mind you, at St Andrews.
And the darts. There's got to be some darts.
They're in Japan.
Okay, sorry.
They were in Japan.
They've got a full-on world tour now, the darts, don't they? Who's been given the Duke?
You do know that I'm playing, I'm in a tournament this weekend.
No, I don't Duke, know too. About
I,
your...
I train 2 hours every day.
Yeah. Doing what?
Throwing darts.
Right, eh?
At? Do you ever put my picture
at? Yeah, at.
At? What are you throwing
at? At a dartboard?
That's Mitchell Stark.
It's Stark starting.
Mitchell Stark has Duke in hand.
I would say, Finey, you need to train at something smaller than a dartboard.
Well, I'm aiming at the triple 20s, but there are... You know,
something even smaller.
So
like
what game do you play in league? Is it 501 or is it 401 or is it 301?
Not league. I don't play league.
So what do you do?
I go into tournaments.
Righto. So which game are you playing there? 501?
501. It's round robin. The first stage is round robin. You get in a group of five. You play four other guys, best of three.
Yeah.
And then the top two advance to knockout. My first tournament was about 4 weeks ago, and the first guy I drew was number three in Victoria. And a proper 100 average dart player.
Sweet.
Really? Are you good?
No. But...
Do you drink while you throw?
I don't, but... In that first game against him, in the first leg against him, I had three darts to win the leg. I threw well, and I
does anyone drink and smoke whilst throwing?
Well, you can't smoke; it's indoors. But
there was
a blue.
Have you experienced
a fight? There was. I was playing in one room, and then there was this commotion. Now there's a lot of British dart players.
Yes. As
and there was
you'd
a
expect.
Rather nasty coming together with a Scotsman and an Irishman.
Ooh, who won?
Well, the Irishman sort of was, he had a wound or whatever. He was sort of a bit knocked around.
Yeah.
And he stormed to the guy running the night, and there was music on in the background, and he yanked the music out of the CD player and put on the Pogues, this really strong Irish music.
Yeah.
And then Dropkick Murphys. It was like a mixtape of Irish music.
Mm.
And all the Irishmen banded together.
Right.
And they asked where I was from, and I said Elstonwick.
Did they know where that was?
Yeah. Well, it was in Melbourne, and I said I'm from Elstonwick, and then some guy volunteered, just go, he's a Jew.
Somebody said that.
Yeah, but in a friendly way, not in an anti-Semitic way. He goes, he's a Jew, and then the Scots go, you can come with us. Okay, you come with us. It was quite funny.
How did we get onto your dart performance? How did that happen?
Well...
Yes, all right.
The cricket...
Next week on the Dart Show.
Three balls down, Stark bowling reasonably well.
Live,
doing his best ducking and covering impersonations.
Now, the big question is, will he or won't he Rory McIlroy with that ankle injury?
Oh, it's a left ankle, isn't it? That's the one that's the issue,
I just keep thinking,
I reckon.
Caddyshack. Cool.
You hamstring the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to ruin a guy's career?
Be able to transfer his weight. I reckon you could cut my Achilles. I'd still be able to get through the ball.
Well, you never followed through properly anyway. You always had that foot on the ground.
Did I?
Peter Fowler style?
No, I did not.
Now, Peter Fowler could have back in the 80s.
Yeah, he didn't need a hamstring.
No.
He didn't need an Achilles. He didn't need anything, Peter Fowler.
He needed a hurry up.
Yeah,
by
that's
God,
true.
He was slow.
Well, so would you be if you missed every grand.
Hey, Craig.
Are we on air?
George Spieth is going to try and maintain a Grand Slam kind of year at the home of golf.
So, say that again.
Jordan Spieth is trying to continue a Grand Slam year at the home of golf. No bigger place.
Mm.
Haven't seen this for a long time. I think Tiger Woods was the last man going into a British Open with the...
You know who should have done it? Hogan.
Masters in the US.
Well, Greg Norman had the Saturday slam.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. That is true. He had the overnight lead slam, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had the overnight lead going
Saturday,
into the last round.
And he led after...
Yep.
On all Saturdays.
Yep. Led a major. What year was that? 1986?
86. Led every major into the final round.
Jesus.
Hogan deserved it because he couldn't get back in time to play the PGA.
Yeah, that's
twice,
correct.
I think he had a chance, didn't he?
Yeah, he won his Open at Carnoustie.
I only won the once, yeah, that's right.
He won his Open at Carnoustie, and he had to qualify that year. So
you know,
after winning the Masters and the US Open, had to go to Barry Golf Club, or the locals call it Barry anyway.
Barry.
Yeah, you know the Barry Burn that goes in front of the... Well, there's a, I know the golf course, its name is something else, but the locals call it Barry, because I remember I qualified at Barry when I played in the British Open.
Not London Links or...
No.
Leven Links?
Leven Links.
Leven Links.
There it is.
Love the Leven Links.
Leven Links. Great little golf course if you're ever over that way.
London Links is just as good, if not better.
But Leven Links has got this beautiful history on... You know, history all over the walls and stuff, but he had to qualify for... an Open at Carnoustie after winning the Masters and the US Open. Absolutely ridiculous.
Hazelwood has taken the new ball with Stark.
Nice.
We could,
thank you.
Hazelwood.
We could do
Hazelwood.
An entire show on Hazelwood. No, we could do an entire show on playing golf in Scotland and the little drives around, the little courses that you never hear about, the pre-qualifying for the British Open, Marco.
Yeah.
How good.
And you will when I'm not here.
Okay. I don't get it.
Well, I'll go. I mean, I've never played golf in Scotland. I can barely play.
Finally, you, of all people,
okay,
would love it.
It's not golf, it's golf.
Because the signs tell you where to go. You just follow the signs, don't you, Marco?
Yeah, I loved it. I used to love going and trying to qualify.
It's the home of golf.
It used to be quite big tournaments. I remember some of the qualifyings for Open Championships on the Monday and the Sunday, or the Sunday and the Monday before the actual Open. Some of the crowds I played in front of were as big a crowd as I've ever played in front of. And that is qualifying.
And you'd play with, like, tour players, like Greg Turner or Peter Fowler or US tour players.
I turned up one year Ben Crenshaw. Ben Crenshaw was playing in the group in front of me. Yeah. Ben Crenshaw.
Yeah. And that's what
ridiculous.
He was good.
He was playing in the qualifying in front of
me. We had the best afternoon in the pub across the road from the 18th green at St Andrews.
Can't tell my Jack Nicholson.
Remember that?
Jack Newton story there that day.
Tell that story again.
So Wayne Riley has just won the Scottish Open. St Andrews that year, 1995, was where the Open Championship was being played. Now, Wayne Riley is a celebrator. If he wins a tournament... he celebrates, and he celebrates for a long time. So after the first round, Craig was an amateur and I was a pro. Mm. We'd both missed. We were both staying in St Andrews. Flights, you know, later. So we had a day on the gas, it's fair to say. So Wayne
60
Riley,
metres from the first tee, by the way.
60 metres. What's it called? The Dunvegan?
I can't remember.
Some Dunvegan, I think it's called. The Dunvegan pub. Anyway, so we go into the Dunvegan hotel, the Dunvegan pub.
Sounds like a German pub.
And there is Wayne Riley. Drinking and celebrating.
He's just at the bar drinking.
Just pints with Jack Newton.
Yes.
So I walk in, and I know Jack and Wayne pretty well, and we just go in. I introduce them to Craig and a few of the other guys from the Victorian Institute of Sport. Yes.
That's not a good...
Jamie McCallum and a few other names.
At the Australian Institute of
Hair. So that was at 1 o'clock, finding.
Yes.
And we stayed there until 6 o'clock. And
the next day?
You know me, I can't drink very well. Mark, you know that. You can imagine, you can imagine how bad I am. Craig's just as bad. It was ugly. But for young guys, having a drink with the Scottish Open champion and Australian golfing legend Jack Newton, and
yes.
gambling and having a little bet on every single shot that was being hit.
Yeah.
It was great fun. Anyway, Jack.
Best afternoon of my life.
It was a great afternoon. It was one of the best you'd ever. It was great if you loved the golf. And we did. Anyway, so Jack, he goes, boys, I've got to go. I've got to go. What's happened? Go on, Finny.
Hello.
I'm just going to tell you something now, that there's been a wicket in the cricket, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it straight up. That may be one of the greatest catches ever taken.
Who got it?
In slips by Australia. This is unbelievable.
Hazelwood?
That is a player trying to play through the onside. I believe it may be. Warner has taken the catch off Hazelwood. The batsman out, I believe, is lithe.
He dove forward, didn't
now,
he?
Now, the hardest catch in cricket. The hardest catch
slips
in
diving
cricket,
forward.
The hardest catch in the game, and I remember Roger Harper taking this and being celebrated for years for doing so, is when a player goes to turn the ball through the onside and gets the leading edge the other way, it's impossible to read off the bat. Basically, Lythe was trying to play that through mid-wicket.
Mm.
It's gone low and hard to Warner in a...
Shanked it.
Finish gully.
Mm, it's like catching a shank.
I don't think I've ever seen the like of it before.
And dove forward, Finny. Didn't it's go past him knee high. Had to dive forward when it's the batsman's trying to hit it the other way.
Greatest catches...
Ever.
Of all time.
One of the greatest, that is one of the great, and given it's to start an Ashes series, but that is one of the great slip catches of all time. Gentlemen.
Do you want to hear the end of the story?
Punchline was about to
punchline
come.
Sorry about that.
Go back a little bit.
Said, no, it's okay. It was a great catch. It was an unbelievable catch, and people driving in their cars tonight would much prefer to hear that catch than the punchline. But anyway, Jack goes, I've got to go. I have to go. So I was a bit concerned about Jack. Because he was blind. So I thought, I'll just follow him out and make sure he gets to his cab okay. So out I went. I looked around the front door, and he's nowhere to be seen. I go around the corner, and here is Jack Newton with a Channel 7 microphone in his hand, looking down the barrel of a camera, doing a live cross back to Australia. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen to this day, and he did it so easily. Did it so easily. Give us a score, Fine Dog.
Well, there is things happening left, right and centre. We're 4.5 minutes gone in Origin 3, and a penalty has been awarded to New South Wales, basically in front of the big... black dot. So it'll be Trent Hodgkinson to convert. I say New South Wales 2, Queensland 0 even before he does so. But the big news is that England are 1 for 7. Cook 1, not out. Balance yet to score, and he can't bat. So expect 2 for very soon. I tell you what a magnificent... Are we going to the break?
We are going to the break. Coming back after the break, we're going to have Craig Spencer's top 10 list.
Which is the top 5. I'm bulletproof, nothing to do.
On 1116 SEN, Chasing Birdies with Mark Allen and Craig Spence.
Good on you, Finny. Welcome, everybody, to Chasing Birdies. Massive night tonight. Of course, I reckon we'll end up talking more about the Ashes and also Origin 3 than we will about golf. But the Open Championship's not too far away, and it's great to have the 99 Australian Masters champion in the studio. Good to see you, Spark.
Good to see you, Marco. Good to see you, Finny. And, Marco, Jerry Weintraub.
Jerry Weintraub, who's that?
He passed away.
Jerry Weintraub died this week.
Yeah.
Who's Weintraub?
I played with Jerry Weintraub at the Bob Hope Classic.
Really?
In
made some famous,
my second...
Made some big movies, Jerry Weintraub.
My second PGA Tour event. We stand on the 18th tee box, Finny.
Who's Jerry Weintraub?
He looks at me. Hang on.
What did he say? Nice kid, nice kid, I'm telling you.
Well, he sounds exactly like Rodney Dangerfield. He looks at me on the 18th tee box, I swear to you, and he says, you've got no idea who I am, do you?
do you know who I am?
I said, no, I've been playing this for 17 holes with you, but yeah. To me, you're just the guy that paid $500 to play or $1,000 to play this week, right?
Well, who is it?
Wow.
Do you know what he said to Craig?
Nice man.
I could buy and sell people like you.
He goes, I own LA. All right, I'm not going to try and do a New Jersey accent. Jerry Weintraub.
Let's just
is a famous. Traub. T-R-A-U-B.
I think between Traub. The Colac boy. And
it's a gap.
And the Oakley Tech and the Oakley Tech boy.
Yeah.
I think Mama's little Jewish boy can pronounce Weintraub the best.
Traub.
But he's
Jerry Weintraub.
Yeah. Right. Say it in a Jersey accent.
Oh, I like it.
I'm telling you that's Jerry Weintraub. He can buy and sell you, Spence. Don't be rude to the guy.
All right.
He's a proper guy.
You should have been Al Shervik.
I wish you had been there.
You should have been Al Shervik.
He's a big guy.
I'm not kidding. When's the last time you said to someone, "You don't have a clue who I am, do you?" Right?
after
I swear to God.
Jerry Weintraub.
He's a famous movie producer in LA.
Right.
Oh,
did Karate Kid?
Did he?
Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11, ooh. 12, 13, 14, 15.
16?
Yeah. No.
Yep.
Yeah.
He promoted Elvis. Led Zeppelin.
When you say promoted, looked after their concert tours?
Concert promotion.
Wow.
And the best story of all time is the way he came to be Elvis's promoter.
How?
He rang Captain, what's his name?
Ahab?
No, his
Captain
manager.
Captain Tom Parker.
Yeah, he rang him every day for a year.
Tommy Parker.
He rang him every day for a year, Marco, and said, "I want to promote Elvis. I want to get him a CBS special. I want to get him a cape.
Yeah.
I want to dye his hair jet black."
Mm. Was the cape Weintraub's idea or not?
Yeah, it was.
The cape was Weintraub's idea.
According to Jer, it was.
Do you know what the name of his autobiography was or biography was?
The Kid Stays in the Picture? No, was the other guy.
Jerry Weintraub's biography was called "When I Stop Talking, You'll Know I'm Dead."
Nice. So tell me this.
He's dead.
It's an... You've got to go and read Jerry Weintraub,
Come you were playing with him? How come they gifted him to you?
Can I just give you a really quick version of this?
Please.
Captain Spaulding, whatever his name is, Captain... manager.
Shervik.
He says, "Show up at such and such hotel tomorrow in Vegas with $1 million and you can promote Elvis." All right?
Right.
So Jerry doesn't have $1 million. So you know what he does?
What does he do?
He doesn't ring a bank. He starts calling people out of the phone book. And he keeps calling and calling until eventually someone says, "Yeah, I'm in." And he shows up with $1 million.
Come on.
This is a true story.
Rubbish
story. You've
got to
read this.
There's no way.
It's
what
the
year
greatest
was this,
story.
Back in the 60s? There's no way you cold
this
call people.
Is, I guess this
and
is
And you
the
get
$1 million.
And some bloke just rings down his briefcase and goes, "There you go. Where's Elvis?"
He shows up and he promotes Elvis for a long time.
He didn't just have Elvis. John Denver.
Yeah. Well, they'd all come running once you...
Zeppelin.
Liberace.
Mate, if you got Elvis on the books.
Hey.
If you got Elvis on the books, the rest had fallen the line.
And
Dolly
King.
Parton.
The king of them all. What's his name?
Liberace.
No. My Way. What's his name?
Frank Sinatra.
Frankie. Yeah. He goes, on the NST box, Marco, he said, "Frank Sinatra's my best buddy."
Right. who are you?
Now, finally, guys, we're going to see who will have the Duke in hand.
It was the Duke.
Over in Cardiff. So we know that England have won the toss.
Australia's gone with Johnson, Stark and Hazelwood.
Batting. Well, I just saw Johnson with his baggy green on. So I would have thought Mitchell, but maybe it'll be the other.
Well, Hazelwood
Mitchell.
Moves it a bit.
Who do you reckon? Because we can't see yet.
I think Hazelwood takes the new ball.
Hazelwood. Oh, we'll see in a second. So Cook's out. Is that who is that Root as well?
No, that Cook and Live.
Cook and Live. Okay.
Cook and Live. Live and Cook.
Well, I can't wait for this. I can't tell you. I know we're doing a golf show at the moment. But this is enormous. Well, we've got the Open Championship. This must be just a great month to be over there. To have the cricket with the Ashes going.
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon as well. You've got the Scottish and British Opens coming up on, you know.
And
the old course, mind you, at St Andrews.
And the darts. There's got to be some darts.
They're in Japan.
Okay, sorry.
They were in Japan.
They've got a full-on world tour now, the darts, don't they? Who's been given the ball? Who's been given the Duke?
You do know that I'm playing. I'm in a tournament this weekend.
No, I don't Duke, know about your...
I train 2 hours every day.
Doing what?
Throwing darts.
Right, eh?
At? Do you ever put my picture
at? Yeah, at.
At? What are you throwing at?
At a dartboard?
You ever throw that's it? Mitchell Stark.
It's Stark starting.
Mitchell Stark has Duke in hand.
I would say, yeah. Finey, yes? you need to train at something smaller than a dartboard.
Well, I'm aiming at the triple 20s, but there are... You know,
something even smaller.
So
like
what game do you play in league? Is it 501 or is it 401 or is it 301?
Not league, I don't play league.
So what do you do?
I go into tournaments.
Righto. So which game are you playing there, 501s?
501, it's round robin. The first stage is round robin. You get in a group of five. You play four other guys, best of three.
Yeah.
And then the top two advance to knockout. My first tournament was about 4 weeks ago, and the first guy I drew was number three in Victoria. And a proper 100 average dart player.
Sweet.
Really? Are you good?
No. But
do you drink while you throw?
I don't. But in that first game against him, in the first leg against him, I had three darts to win the leg. I threw well. And
does anyone drink and smoke whilst throwing?
Well, you can't smoke. It's indoors. But
there was a
blue.
Have you experienced a fight?
There was. I was playing in one room, and then there was this commotion. Now, there's a lot of British dart players.
Yes, as
you would
expect.
And there was a rather nasty coming together with a Scotsman and an Irishman.
Ooh, who won?
Well, the Irishman sort of was, he had a wound or whatever. He was sort of a bit knocked around.
Yeah.
And he stormed to the guy running the night, and there was music on in the background, and he yanked the music out of the CD player and put on the Pogues, this really strong Irish music, and then Dropkick Murphys. It was like a mixtape of Irish music, and all the Irishmen banded together.
Right.
And they asked where I was from, and I said Elstonwick.
Did they know where that was?
Yeah. Well, it was in Melbourne, and I said I'm from Elstonwick, and then some guy volunteered, just go, he's a Jew.
Somebody said that.
Yeah, in a friendly way, not in an anti-Semitic way. He goes, he's a Jew. And then the Scots go, you can come with us. Okay, you come with us. It was quite funny.
How did we get onto your dart performance? How did that happen?
Well.
Yes, all right.
The cricket.
Next week on the Dart Show.
Three balls down, Stark bowling reasonably well.
Live,
doing his best ducking and covering impersonations.
Now, the big question is, will he or won't he Rory McIlroy with that ankle injury?
Oh, it's a left ankle, isn't it? That's the one that's the issue,
I just keep thinking,
I reckon.
Caddyshack. Cool.
You hamstring the guy.
Yeah, you want to ruin a guy's
and
career.
And then be able to transfer his weight. I reckon you could cut my Achilles. I'd still be able to get through the ball.
Well, you never followed through properly anyway. You always had that foot on the ground.
Did I?
Peter Fowler style?
No, I did not.
Now, Peter Fowler could have back in the 80s.
Yeah, he didn't need a hamstring.
No,
he didn't need an Achilles. He didn't need anything, Peter Fowler.
He needed a hurry up.
Yeah,
by God, he was slow.
Well, so would you be if you missed every grand.
Hey, Craig.
Are we on air?
Jordan Spieth is going to try and maintain a Grand Slam kind of year at the home of golf.
Say that again.
Jordan Spieth is trying to continue a Grand Slam year at the home of golf. No bigger place. Haven't seen this for a long time. I think Tiger Woods was the last man going into a British Open with the...
You know who should have done it? Hogan.
Masters in the US.
Well, Greg Norman had the Saturday slam.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. That is true. He had the overnight lead slam, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had the overnight lead going
Saturday
into the last round.
And he led after...
Yep.
On all Saturdays.
Yep. Led a major. What year was that? 1986?
86. Led every major into the final round.
Jesus.
Hogan deserved it because he couldn't get back in time to play the PGA.
Yeah, that's
twice, great. I think he had a chance, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he won his Open at Carnoustie.
I only won the once. Yeah, that's right.
He won his Open at Carnoustie. And he had to qualify that year. So
you know,
after winning the Masters and the US Open, he had to go to Barry Golf Club, or the locals call it Barry anyway.
Barry?
Yeah, you know the Barry Byrne that goes in front of the well. I know the golf course. Its name is something else, but the locals call it Barry because I remember I qualified at Barry when I played in the British Open.
Not London Links or
no
Leven Links.
Leven Links.
Leven Links.
There it is.
Love the Leven Links.
Leven Links. Great little golf course if you're ever over that way.
London Links is just as good, if not better.
But Leven Links has got this beautiful history on history all over the walls and stuff. But he had to qualify for an Open at Carnoustie after winning the Masters and the US Open. Absolutely ridiculous.
Hazelwood has taken the new ball with Stark.
Nice. We could, thank you.
Hazelwood.
We could do
Hazelwood.
An entire show on Hazelwood. No, we could do an entire show on playing golf in Scotland and the little drives around, the little courses that you never hear about, the pre-qualifying for the British Open, Marco.
Yeah.
How good.
And you will when I'm not here.
Okay. I don't get it.
Well, I'll go. I mean, I've never played golf in Scotland. I can barely play.
Finally, you, of all people,
okay,
would love it.
It's not golf, it's golf.
Because the signs tell you where to go. You just follow the signs, don't you, Marco?
Yeah, I loved it. I used to love going and trying to qualify.
It's the home of golf.
It used to be quite big tournaments. I remember some of the qualifyings for Open Championships on the Monday and the Sunday, or the Sunday and the Monday before the actual Open. Some of the crowds I played in front of were as big a crowd as I've ever played in front of. And they were just qualifying.
And you'd play with, like, tour players, like Greg Turner or Peter Fowler or US tour players.
I turned up one year and Ben Crenshaw was playing in the group in front of me. Yeah. Ben Crenshaw.
Yeah, and that's what ridiculous. He was good.
He was playing in a qualifying in front of
me. We had the best afternoon in the pub across the road from the 18th green at St Andrews.
Can I tell my Jack Nicklaus,
remember that?
Jack Newton story there that day?
Tell that story again.
So Wayne Riley has just won the Scottish Open. And St Andrews that year, 1995, was where the Open Championship was being played. Now, Wayne Riley is a celebrator. If he wins a tournament, he celebrates, and he celebrates for a long time. So after the first round, Craig was an amateur, and I was a pro. Mm. We'd both missed. We're both staying in St Andrews. Flights, you know, later. So we had a day on the gas, it's fair to say. Mm. So Wayne
60
Riley,
metres from the first tee, by the way.
60 metres. What's it called? The Dunvegan?
I can't remember.
Some Dunvegan, I think it's called. The Dunvegan pub. Anyway, so we go into the Dunvegan Hotel, the Dunvegan pub.
Sounds like a German pub.
And there is Wayne Riley. Drinking and celebrating.
He's just at the bar drinking.
Just pints with Jack Newton.
Yes.
So I walk in and I know Jack and Wayne pretty well. And we just go in. I introduce them to Craig and a few of the other guys from the Victorian Institute of Sport. Yes.
That's not a good.
Jamie McCallum and a few other names.
The Australian Institute of
Sport. So that was at 1 o'clock finding.
Yes.
And we stayed there until 6 o'clock. And
the next day?
You know me, I can't drink very well. Mark, you know that. So you can imagine, you can imagine how bad I am. Craig's just as bad. It was ugly. But for young guys, having a drink with the Scottish Open champion and Australian golfing legend Jack Newton, and gambling and having a little bet on every single shot that was being hit, it was great fun. Anyway, Jack.
Best afternoon of my life.
It was a great afternoon. It was one of the best you'd ever. You know, it was great if you loved the golf. And we did. Anyway, so Jack. He goes, boys, I've got to go. I've got to go. What's happened? Go on, Fonny.
Hello.
I'm just going to tell you something now, that there's been a wicket in the cricket, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it straight up. That may be one of the greatest catches ever taken.
Who got it?
In slips by Australia. This is unbelievable.
Hazelwood?
That is a player trying to play through the onside. I believe it may be. Warner has taken the catch off Hazelwood. The batsman out, I believe, is lithe.
He dove forward, didn't
now,
he?
Now, the hardest catch in cricket, the hardest catch
slips
in
diving
cricket,
forward.
The hardest catch in the game, and I remember Roger Harper taking this and being celebrated for years for doing so, is when a player goes to turn the ball through the onside and gets the leading edge the other way, it's impossible to read off the bat. Basically, Lithe was trying to play that through mid-wicket. It's gone low and hard to Warner in a...
Shanked it.
Finish gully.
It's like catching a shank.
I don't think I've ever seen the like of it before.
And dove forward, Finney. Didn't go past him knee high. Had to dive forward when the batsman's trying to hit it the other way.
Greatest catches
ever
of all time.
One of the greatest. That is one of the great. And given it's to start an Ashes series, but that is one of the great slip catches of all time, gentlemen.
Do you want to hear the end of the story?
Punchline was about to
punchline
come.
Sorry about that.
Go back a little bit.
No, it's okay. It was a great catch. It was an unbelievable catch. And people driving in their cars tonight would much prefer to hear that catch than the punchline. But anyway, Jack goes, I've got to go. I have to go. So I was a bit concerned about Jack because he was blind. So I thought, I'll just follow him out and make sure he gets to his cab okay. So out I went. I looked around the front door, and he's nowhere to be seen. I go around the corner, and here is Jack Newton with a Channel 7 microphone in his hand, looking down the barrel of a camera, doing a live cross back to Australia. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen to this day, and he did it so easily. Did it so easily. Give us a score, Fine Dog.
Well, there is things happening left, right and centre. We're 4.5 minutes gone in Origin 3 and a penalty has been awarded to New South Wales, basically in front of the big black dot. So it'll be Trent Hodgkinson to convert. I say New South Wales 2, Queensland 0 even before he does so. But the big news is that England are 1 for 7. Cook 1, not out. Balance yet to score, and he can't bat, so expect 2 for very soon. I tell you what a magnificent... Are we going to the break?
We are going to the break. Coming back after the break, we're going to have Craig Spencer's top 10 list.